When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We've been watching as Iran has launched a missile attack against Israel, of which the IDF has intercepted those missiles. It doesn't appear as though there are any casualties from the strike that Iran was launching. The question is, have we witnessed the first wave of something more, or was Iran trying to make a statement? We'll retaliate in this way. It won't cause a lot of damage, but we'll get credit for having done something. Who knows what is next? And of course, the question that we're all interested in, what is the United States' responsibility in the matter as our Israel ally is under attack? Let's get to our next guest. Excited to have Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood on with us once again. He's the owner and CEO of Hot Gates Consulting. Thank you so much for being back with us, Colonel. We appreciate your time today.
It's been too long. I love your team and what you do on the air. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you bet. It has been too long. You're right on that. Can I just ask you to set the table for us and tell us what you've observed today, what your thoughts are on this attack on Israel from Iran?
The Israelis have once again shown how good they can actually be when they have their act together. I mean, just the decimation that they have imposed on Hezbollah with the Patriot attacks and the handheld radios, precision bombing against senior leadership, both from Hamas and Hezbollah, even getting Nasrallah in a deeply buried, hardened bunker where they used almost a jackhammer approach, you know, sequencing various bombs to pummel its way several scores of feet underground to get Nasrallah. They've conducted the assassination attack of the senior leader in Tehran. Remember, that was there for a funeral service for somebody else. They've just shown extraordinary effectiveness. And what that has done is, one, killed off just about all the senior Hamas leadership, all the top tier echelon of Hezbollah. So it's sent them reeling, and it's greatly embarrassed the Iranian regime in Tehran. So amongst those three groups, the Iranians in particular, they had to do something to kind of reclaim their honor, you know, that they aren't completely ineffective. And so I think tonight, their time, a barrage of nearly 200 ballistic missiles was their kind of a grasping effort to try to regain some honor, to answer back to what Israel has been able to do to them. My guess is they will now be quiet for a week to 10 days, maybe 2 weeks. They're already claiming 80% of their rockets hit targets in Israel, which just did not happen. And then Israel will return its full focus on killing off Hezbollah leadership and decimating or destroying a lot of the sites that they've been mapping for the last half year or so.
I think every time one of these things happens, I'm always reminded by experts like you that we get to listen to about the gamesmanship of attacks like this.
Huge.
I mean, it's scary to look at it when you don't know anything about war. War is hell. War is frightening. And for us, you know, sitting securely in the Midwest, at least we like to think so, you see these missiles being launched over Israel, and it's incredibly intimidating. But then I hear people saying, you know, this was just like this was a response so that they could say that they responded. Israel did what they had to do. What is the natural response for Israel based on a no casualty death, no casualties from these missiles? It didn't seem to do much destruction. What's the natural response?
It enables both sides. The Israeli side, again, no deaths that have been reported. It enables them to say, we held the line, and look how good our defenses are without having to go on the offense against Iran. Iran can then, you know, claim its honor has been restored by, you know, attacking the little Satan, being Israel. And, you know, they're always in a fight with the Sunni powers in that region, the states. Contest between Saudi Arabia and Iran, and Iranian sponsorship of so many groups that operate in Syria, in Lebanon, primarily Hezbollah, they're in the southern part, Hamas and others, right? So everybody's kind of honor has been served here. And to a point that you made, we tend to forget that war, diplomacy, economics really have people at the heart of it. You know, so you've got a bunch of academics and policy pundits and whatnot that will kind of wax eloquently about theories. But when it comes down to it, these are actual people that have to make decisions on a minute by minute basis about what their power standing is amongst their power structure, you know, their electorate or the people who have sponsored them or they fear might rise up against them. So this spat of some missiles being fired, you know, 200, can't sneeze at that, I think kind of assuages Iranian concerns about being able to retaliate. Israel once again shows technological mastery. It tracking an incoming ballistic missile, they will project where they think it's going to hit. If it's just going to land in the desert, why expend an anti-missile missile, right? They just shoot down the ones that pose some kind of a hazard to civilians or critical infrastructure. And so it's an amazing display of technology, decision-making, risk assessment, political interests. And on the Israeli side, can you really trust others to come help you? You know, the British and the French and the Americans and Canadians and whoever else might talk a good game from the safety of Washington, D.C. or London. Nobody's pummeling our country with missiles, right? So we can talk about diplomacy and taking the higher road and these sorts of things. But the Israelis have been subject to, there was another terrorist attack today, right, in the coastal city of Jaffa, where half a dozen were killed and several others were wounded due to a gunfire. So this is a daily status of living in the country of Israel. And so they make very, very hard calls that are more risk tolerant than what we would be comfortable with, you know, unless we were actually under attack. So it's just this stuff should be studied. I love your shows, you know, covering this sort of thing, and it should cause Americans to consider what would we really be willing to do in war, and if you want to prevent war, and other countries only appreciate strength, what is our current status as a country? You know, are we united? Do we have military capabilities that, you know, are relevant to the global security situation? How is our economy doing? And we should be thinking about what we would do if we were in Israel's position.
Yeah, I think those are all very healthy thoughts and conversations to be having right now. Dakota Wood joins us to discuss today's Iran attack on Israel and Israel's assured defense system in place and doing what it is supposed to do to keep the people of Israel safe. You mentioned, you know, how much can Israel rely on their friends right now? Mm-hmm. That, my question is, you know, what is a red line for the United States? In an instance like this, where we're seeing an ally under attack in this regard, where does it become imperative that America gets involved at a much...
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Higher level.
Well, 15 years ago, we would have been more willing to get involved because we had more stuff to use in getting involved. Today, we have essentially half the size of the military that we did in the Cold War, and most of the stuff we have is very old. I mean, the average age for an Air Force fighter, the kind that have been deployed to the Middle East, is 32 years old. You know, 32 years, that's the average age of a fighter. We have 294 ships, I think, total. Cold War, we had nearly 600. Most of the ships we have are older than 20 years of age. So you just don't, when you don't have as much stuff, it makes you more reluctant to commit what you do have to a potential war in the Middle East, right, where you might have other interests, like in the Indo-Pacific. You know, what would you do with China? What are you going to do with Venezuela? If things continue to go the way they're going between Russia and Ukraine, you know, do you need some kind of capability in case, you know, the war spills over into Poland or, you know, another NATO ally or something? So in this administration we have, the Biden administration, coming into a presidential election cycle, clearly, the last thing they want to do is get involved in a war in the Middle East. And that's the last thing they want to do. So we see lots of rhetoric, lots of discussion about the importance of diplomacy, trying to get to a peaceful situation. And it rings hollow if you're in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem when you have Iranian ballistic missiles coming down on your head, right? Or you have Hezbollah that's been killing people, or Hamas that slaughtered, you know, so many on October 7th, you know, nearly a year ago. So what is the red line for the Biden administration? I don't know. I don't know what that answer is. unless Iran was able to coordinate with Hezbollah, and instead of 200 missiles, it was 2,000 missiles. That might cause us to get involved.
Dakota, I want to ask you a question a little bit more in the political realm, but in a campaign season. I mean, think about what is happening in the Middle East right now.
Yeah.
I would assume that the position that a new administration, whether it's a Harris-Walz administration or a resurgence into the Trump doctrine, the Trump way of doing things, would dramatically affect what's taking place in the Middle East. What's at stake with this election and the Middle East?
Well, Trump demonstrated that, if you remember Bashar al-Assad, when he used chemical munitions against his own people in Syria, Trump ordered the launch of 100 or 114 or something Tomahawk cruise missiles against sites in Syria that were associated with these chlorine gas, chemical munition sorts of attacks on the Syrian people. And so that was a demonstration of where then-President Trump was willing to use American military power to send a very, very clear message to whomever the dictator was, al-Assad at this point in time, that the use of those kinds of instruments of military power were just intolerable. So if you had a Harris administration, what would her view be of American interests in the Middle East and her willingness to use military power to destroy Iranian missile launch sites or the manufacturing centers that are making the missiles that the Houthis in Yemen are using to attack innocent commercial shipping up and down the coast of Yemen there in the Red Sea and the Sea of Oman. So, what was her view? And she's been very ambiguous about what her decision process would be and where she thinks that she would actually take action. She'll talk about diplomacy. She'll talk about things that shouldn't be allowed, like a nuclear Iran, but she is evasive in terms of saying what she would actually do in certain situations. And you can get ambiguous with notional scenarios. It's all speculative, but she doesn't have a track record of saying those sorts of things. Trump can be all over the map on stuff, but he has a track record of actually making decisions that resulted in the use of either economic incentives, tariffs and those sorts of things, or military power, cruise missiles and aircraft strikes against enemy targets when the interests warranted that. So it's one way to think about the two nominees.
I want to ask you one last question, and this has just kind of occurred to me over the course of our conversation here today, is that, this is a country striking Israel, which is a little bit different than infiltrated terrorist attacks like October 7th, even though we know that the funding definitely does come from Iran. I hear a lot about the people of Iran and the difference between the mindset of many of the people of Iran and the people who are in charge of who are leading Iran. Can you talk a little bit about the dichotomy there between the powers, the government or the power systems in Iran and how that may not mirror exactly, if you're just like, well, let's wipe Iran off the map. Of course, that's not what we would want to have happen. But the people there aren't necessarily in lockstep with what their government is engaging in.
That is a great point. And if we think about patterns of behavior over the last few years, it wasn't that long ago. Remember when there was kind of one as part of the rainbow or the colored revolutions? There was one in Egypt and there was an uprising of popular discontent in Iran during the Obama administration. And the U.S. position was, we're not going to get involved. We're not going to support the freedom-loving people in Iran, and that incentivized the theocracy, the religious ruling regime in Tehran, to use brutal force and cracking down on these protests. So the Iranian regime rules by fear, intimidation, military, political force. Their customs. It's the religious police that go out and will beat women if they're not appropriately attired.
Yeah.
or if they're out without a male escort. And so that's the kind of rule by force that keeps the Iranian people in check. But they're very educated. You know, the people are. They do travel. They do know what's going on outside. But they have no physical ability to protect themselves or to fight back against the government that, that has exclusive use or control of force, whether it's religious police or it's military forces or their special operations capabilities, what have you. So the Iranian regime has as much to fear internal to Iran as they do external to Iran, where they think that Israel might try to strike them if they get ever more closer to having a nuclear capability. Mm-hmm. And so if you're living in Iran, you have to be on the good side of the government or be fearful of, you know, life and your ability to earn a living and to travel and do the things that, you know, we freely do here in the West.
Tyranny in action. It's terrible to
it
see.
Is.
Dakota Wood, thank you for your time today. And we really hope that we can get you back, because I assume that these issues in the next, especially, four or 5 weeks or so are going to become very, very important issues to be discussing. We appreciate your time.
Blessing for me to be on with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, he is the owner and CEO of Hot Gates Consulting, and we are excited to have him back with us. Jim Carafano and Dakota Wood back-to-back is quite an honor to have on the show. We were glad we were able to work them in. And when we come back, we'll get Ryan Wiggins back in the studio and we'll reset a little bit from where we are. Guys, there's a vice presidential debate tonight. We haven't talked about it yet. We weren't sure at the beginning of the show if we would talk about it at all, but the airspace in Israel is back open again. The missiles, I think they said 184 missiles identified that were Iranian missiles that were shot over Israel. No casualties. It seems as though it was an ineffective but public display of dissatisfaction from Iran. And for now, there is a pause. People have been able to leave their shelters. People are still on high alert in Israel, and we will continue to monitor the situation should anything else begin to brew over the skies of Israel. We're going to take a quick break. More Annie Fry Show after this.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.